Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday evening, March the 22nd, 2015.
Just to be focusing tonight a little bit on our commitment to the Lord personally as we sing, and Fred will be talking in a few minutes about unity and just kind of sharing our hearts with one another. So as we sing tonight, I hope that that'll will be an encouragement to you. Would you stand with me as we begin tonight? It's the cry of my heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you.
It's a cry of my heart.
It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things that you do. Open my heart up more and more, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow you. It is the cry of my heart to be close to you. It is the cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. And show me your ways that I may walk with you. Show me your ways. I put my hope in you. The cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with the touch of your hand, stronger each day.
Ensemble is going to come and share with us.
I can gives me strength, but sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show.
Strength is perfect. It's a great truth and promise as well, isn't it? Have the men come forward and we'll take the offering tonight. Brant, would you mind praying for us tonight?
Well, thank you for our time together again this Sunday evening. And thank you for the opportunity to share and give for the work of God. Bless now this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just a few choruses tonight, and Fred and I talked a little bit more about this, but anyway, some songs that maybe will just be a blessing to you tonight as you think about what he's going to be speaking on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love.
To introduce the other Fred. So he usually, when we call each other, it'll be, hey, this is the other Fred, even though we have caller ID, so we pretty much know who's. But I appreciate Fred more than you know. Fred is a good friend. I call Fred when I need prayer. I call Fred when I need help. I call Fred because not only do we have the same name, but he loves the Lord, and he loves this place too. So looking forward to what God has for you tonight, Fred.
And I call Fred when I hear an awesome song that I know he will love, a song that by the end of the first line, I'm already worshiping. Boy, no pressure tonight. There's a deacon's meeting right after I get done preaching, huh? I've never had that before. Okay, I didn't know all of that was up. I tell you what, though, Les was a blessing to hear the message this morning. Wow. Les was talking about the pressure that Joshua felt being right behind Moses, succeeding Moses. And as I was praying this afternoon and finished praying, I wrote down a little note, what a group to follow. Dr. Bill, 3 weeks ago. Wow. Was God all over him or not? Wow. Pastor Ben, 2 weeks ago in Exodus. Wow. Pastor, last Sunday. Wow. He always talked about finishing well, and he finished well. Les, this morning. You know, if you couldn't get awesome things out of those four messages, wow. If we couldn't, then we really, really, really need a checkup of our heart. What great future must God be preparing for us, for him to put those four Sundays in a row at this time in our lives? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, thank you so much. There'd be nothing to say and no way to say it if it wasn't for you. We wouldn't have words that are living and true, not a book. Living words, God whispering to us. We wouldn't have a living spirit inside of us to resurrect us someday. We wouldn't have a spirit that helps us to understand these amazing words. So thanks for making everything possible tonight for us to hear from you. Now please speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about a spiritual physical. Usually we think of a physical when the body is checked out. Well, this is a physical spiritual tonight, or a spiritual physical, I guess you'd call it. The anatomy of the body of Christ. We're going to look at what the body is supposed to be in Scripture. 2 weeks ago, no, 2 years ago, we did an awesome study. The staff brought to us that study on the church. And wow. It was sort of interesting, though. Some people didn't want to do that study. Well, that sort of proved the point, didn't it? Because that study was all about the body being united with one head, and the body working together, and the body getting its life from the head. And it was all about the things of the Word of God as far as the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ, invisible, is visible in Chattanooga, Tennessee, because of Grace Baptist Church. And that was the whole crux of the study, that the church is the visible, the manifestation of the body of Jesus Christ, how he brings together people from all over the world, and we meet them. And we didn't know that they were part of the body. They're not part of this body, but they're part of his body. So I looked first of all in Scripture, and it was amazing. The New Testament symbolism of a body in relation to the church. I don't even have time to give you all the references from these, but I'm just going to give you some phrases. There is one body, the church, which is his body. The whole body is joined together by the joints and connected by that which every joint supplies. We are members of his body. The Apostle Paul says, every part causes growth in the body. He is the head of the body. The body is one with many members. You are the body of Christ, the Apostle Paul says. Some of these are Peter's words also. We are baptized by the Spirit into one body. The body is not one part, but many. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, I think it is, he talks about the eye and the ear and the foot. And they're speaking, and the whole thought is there, it's us. You know, if the eye says to the ear, I don't need you. I mean, that's sort of stupid. Just like it's stupid if I say to somebody else in the body here, I don't need you. I need you. You have prayed for me. I have prayed for you. We need each other. When we were in Israel in 06, I'll never forget what Ellie said, in the room, right a couple days before we left, he said, I don't know what it is, but it's like there's some spirit here. And yeah, everybody smiled, and we started shaking our head. And he said, I thought you all were from the same church, and you knew each other before you came on this trip, but you're from like 5 or 6 different churches. How is it that you are like a family? Tom said, because we are a family, and there is a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. There's a New Testament parallel between the body of Christ and the body. The Apostle Paul says, you were born not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, he says. Grow by milk. Little children, we're told to call our father, daddy, Abba Father. Grow up into him, the Apostle Paul says. Most of our wives just want us to grow up, but he says, grow up into him. Grow in graciousness, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the Philippians, your faith is growing and your love is abounding. He says, older men, teach the younger men as if you are their fathers and treat them like brothers. Older women, treat the younger women as if you were their mother and they are your sisters. So the parallel between the body, and the body of Christ is amazing, and the symbolism all in the scripture. But think about this also. Our bodies are in a constant state of birth, death, and regeneration. You say, well, I was only born once. But you don't have the same cells that you had when you were born. Very little of your body now is what it was when you were born. Even since yesterday, your skin cells have died and your body has regenerated your skin cells. I mean, everything about this body, I don't have all of my original teeth. And it's not my fault, okay? I've had a couple of accidents. I've tried to keep as many originals as I could, okay? The ones that are not original are way more expensive than the originals. Do you ever notice that? I said, can you give me some originals? They were free. No, it doesn't happen that way. I've got some, but you can't tell which ones are original and which are new. They're working together. I'm glad they work together. The new members in this body, the people that came to Christ, the people that we baptized a few weeks ago, those new believers are part of this body, and we're working together as a body. This body is being regenerated. Those of us who are getting older are learning to function with the new teeth and do what needs to be done here. We can't run with the young bucks anymore. We can't do that. That's why youth ministers are usually 40 and under. Because they won't insure them if they're 40 or over, you know. They can't keep up with the young people. But now it's good. Jessie Sandberg said this morning, she said, I love it anytime I can hang around young people. I don't want to hang around with the old people all the time. And you know what? I don't either. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't want to just hang around with people your own age. You won't learn anything new. How many of you knew the words to that song this morning? This is amazing grace. Phil Wickham. All right. God bless you. And the rest of you, you need to hang around some young people so you learn about some of these songs that are so amazing. And some of these songs that Fred brings up here that just lift up the Lord. And I'm sitting up there singing right along with them. They have good accompaniment anytime the young people are up here, right up there. But we're working together. And that's where it's supposed to be. Now, let's look at the passage. Because he tells us what the body of Christ is made up of in Acts chapter 2. First of all, it's made up of hungry children, verses 41 to 43. Then those who gladly received... By the way, look at these verses. These don't sound like old Christians. These don't sound like people that have been saved a long time and have lost their excitement and joy about their Savior. Listen to what they do. Then they who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That word is used also in verse 33. Then fear came upon every soul. Back in 41, that day were added 3,000 souls to the body. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Why do I say these are hungry children? Because it sounds like something is wrong if a baby is born and that baby doesn't immediately look for a warm home-cooked meal. They do. When calves are born, when sheep were born on my grandfather's farm, they immediately want to eat. I was at camp a couple years ago, and the guy that handled the horses came to me and he said, I got a problem. He said, one of my calves won't suck. There's something wrong. Everything about that animal looked normal, but it wasn't a normal animal. That animal had no desire for nourishment. And before the end of camp, the animal had died. We tried every way we could to pour milk in a bottle down the mouth and throat of that poor calf, but it wouldn't take it. These people are not like that, though. They gladly received the word, and they were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. These are hungry children. The phrase gladly received there means to welcome. They were caught up with pleasure, fully taken with welcoming what message they heard from the Word of God. New believers can't get enough of the Word of God. Why isn't it us too? What do we not need the Word of God? Do we not need the nourishment of God's Word as much or more than they do? Now think of this. If a baby's born and the parents quit eating and they died of malnutrition, who's going to feed the baby? Their job is to feed the baby and then to teach the baby how to feed themselves. And that's where we are. But you know what? When your kids learn how to eat, you don't quit eating. You keep consuming the same things that they do. They gladly received his word and they were baptized. We could spend the rest of the time tonight on that one word, baptize. Because it doesn't mean now, here, what it did then, but it does in Iraq. This is a shirt that I'm not sure I'm ever going to be able to wear this shirt. I may hang this shirt up, for those of you that are listening on the podcast. It looks like an upside-down U spray painted on this with an I, with a dot at the top of it. It's the letter Nun in the Arabic alphabet. And this is what is spray painted on the front of the houses of Christians by ISIS. When these people were baptized, there was an ISIS, but it was Jewish. And you know who the head of that ISIS was? A guy named Shaul of Tarsus. Because he went after the heads of Christians. And these people gladly received the word, and when they were baptized, it was dedication, it was a giving of their life. They said, whatever, I don't care what happens. I'm not holding anything back of me. Later on, they show that by not holding anything back of their possessions. But this is when they gave themselves to be baptized, to identify with someone who had died and had risen and now was gone back to heaven. But this was proof of the resurrection. This was proof of the deity of Jesus Christ. This is proof of salvation being more than a mental issue. It was something for real because these people were willing to give their lives, if necessary, for this one that they had just believed in. They continued steadfastly. It means to be totally devoted to. It means to be earnest in the direction of, to persevere, to never stop, to be going toward the doctrines and fellowship. Two things. How can we know how we should live? We've got to know what the Word of God says. There is no time for us to stop learning what the Word of God says. The bottom's not been sounded yet. The Jewish rabbis say, now they say it for a different reason, but the principle's true. They say that every word of the scripture of the Old Testament is seven meanings deep. Now, some of them do that so they can pick out which meaning they want to use. I've heard them say that before. Some of them say it because they know that our God is so deep that the bottom of His Word cannot be sounded. Can you understand the Word of God? Sure. That's what I prayed. The Holy Spirit, the one who gave this Word, can help us to understand it. And yet I can read the same verse today, and God will show me something that I need today from that verse. And 2 or 3 years from now, and I write it down beside it there when God says something, and I say, wow, I needed that. And I date it. And a couple years later, I'll be going through that same passage. And there'll be a different direction in my life. There'll be something else that I need to know. And He'll take that same verse and say, now, Bennett, this is what you need. This fourth time through, you need it this way. And that's what He does. And that's what these people, they earnestly went toward what God was saying. They wanted to stick with it, what He says. Doctrine, biblical teaching. But it says they earnestly desired the fellowship idea too. You know what that is? Literally, the word means to share. It's the word that means share. It means we put our sources together. It means an association with you and me. It means, a little bit later, what I have is yours. And that's as far as I'm going to go. Because I'm not going to say to you, it means what you have is mine. Because that's not my business. My business is to say, what I have is yours if you need it. These hungry children continued steadfastly in doctrine and fellowship. That word fellowship talks about partnership. It talks about participation in the same activities. It's a group thing. It's people coming together because they have a common Savior. They have a common desire. A little bit later, He's going to talk about a common passion that they have. And they just do stuff together. They don't do everything with the same group of people. But somewhere around this city, every day, we should be doing the same things at different places. We should be caring for people the same way in different places. Hungry children that feared, verse 43, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Joel 2, Acts 2, God said in the last days had begun just a few days before this. When God poured out His Spirit on unbelievers and believers, and all of a sudden this gigantic gathering came into the body of Christ. Every time they got afraid, look at chapter 5, verses 5 and 11, and chapter 9, 31. Every time that uses this word, and you know what it means? Afraid. You know what they got afraid of in all four of those cases? The God sightings. What they saw God doing caused them to go, wow. Whew. Whew. Wow. Is God great? Or what? Is He amazing? Let's be careful about the use of the word awesome. Okay? I try to reserve that for God or something that I see Him do. And it could be something I see Him do through you. But these people saw what God did. 3,000 people looked around individually and saw 2,999 other people that had just come to Jesus Christ, and they said, whoa, you believe the same thing that I did. And the apostles and the 70 around it, they're going, whoa, what is happening here? That's what the word is. It's an awesome respect. It's full of awe. That's what the word awful means. It doesn't mean bad like we usually think it does. It means to be full of amazement and awe. And that's what happened to these hungry children. They looked around and they said, wow, these God sightings are, this has got to be Him. Secondly, verses 44 to 47, the body of Christ is made up of a united family. 44 to 47. Now, look, word just keeps popping back up. All. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. It's interesting. He says, now all who believed, verse 44, were together. Now, this almost makes you think of a word from back in the 90s. If two people were really close, the vernacular was, you know, I'm really tight with my brother. Okay? That's literally what this word is, tight. All of them were tight to each other. They were close. I saw it in this morning, Cleveland Indians spring training. The coach of the Cleveland Indians comes out and he hugged the Fox News reporter that had come. Of course, it was a girl. But he hugged her. And you know what? That's the way they do things on their team. Terry Francona, pretty neat guy. Loved by his players, loved by the fans in Cleveland. But that's what this is. They were tight. All these people were together. They were tight. Then he says, they had all things common. 44. They were together and had all things in common. Now, that's not communism. The word is the word for simple, nothing special. It doesn't mean, right there, it doesn't mean yet that they've divided everything up. Before they divided things up to those that had need, every person looked at what they had and said, it's nothing special to me. Wow. What a difference. Because if it's nothing special to me, then I'm not going to be kicking and screaming if God says, Bennett, I want you to give that to Fred Holcomb. Now, I'm not going to say, here, Fred, I'm giving this to you. I don't really care about it. That's not what it is. No. It's spiritually. I look at that and I say, that's just something for me to use until God wants me to pass it on to somebody else. Now, what does that mean? That means I better take good care of it, too. And if I get to the end of something, if I've worn this pair of shoes out and God didn't want me to pass them on to somebody else, it's okay. Because all the time I owned those shoes, I was taking good care of them, and they belonged to God. But at any point in my life, he should be able to say to me, Fred, I need you to pass those shoes on to that guy in the Philippines. Now, I've learned a couple of lessons, okay? Always when I go overseas, take two pairs. so far he hasn't asked for both of them. But if he does, we'll figure something out. But that's what it is. They had all things common. Each person said, he's special. What he has given me, I'm going to take care of it. But it's not special to me so that I will hold on to it and wouldn't be willing to give it to you. That means I've already given it to the Lord. Well, if it already belongs to him, then he can do with it what he wants to do. And I've had this happen to me both directions. I've had people share things with me that I know most people would have held special, but they gave him to me, and I went, wow. And the Lord taught me this a long time ago. And if we know this, then it doesn't hurt. In fact, it's exciting. Somebody in this church, and I've never told anybody else who, but somebody in this church taught me long ago the joy of secret giving. It is so much fun. When you find out that somebody needs something, and God says, I'd like you to help them with that. It's actually more fun if they don't know that it's you. And I found out accidentally, I did, I wasn't going looking, I found out accidentally that this brother, and this was 30 years ago in this church, had helped me secretly. And about 10 years ago, I kept the secret for about 20 years that I knew. And one day I walked up to him in church and put my arm around him and I said, by the way, I want to thank you for something. I want to thank you for teaching me how exciting it is to do secret giving with the brothers and sisters. And he looked at me and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, lying right here in church. I said, thank you. And he grinned and he said, you're welcome. Isn't it great? I said, yeah, man, it is great. So they had all things common. This is actually the word that's used for Koine Greek, which is the word for the common Greek language that the people, sort of like the street Greek that they spoke in those days. But it's also the base word of fellowship. It's like this is the foundation of the fellowship the church can have, is that each individual in the church says, what I have is from God, and I'm not going to hold it so special to me that I wouldn't give it to you. And that makes fellowship complete. That makes it possible. We look at the last part. And verses 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I didn't mean to skip over 45. 45 was a result of each of them saying, my stuff is common. It's not special to me. Well, if it wasn't, then they went and sold all that they had and divided them among all as anyone had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. What happens in the temple? What was important to them going to the temple every day? We have to go to church every day? No, these people were brand new believers. And this is where the apostles were and some others that were teaching the word of God. What else goes on in the temple? Singing, praise, the sacrifices were going on. They didn't have to offer sacrifices anymore. But they could talk about those sacrifices, go back into the Old Testament, and share Jesus with those people as they were given the sacrifices. They went to where the people were coming to. But they also went there to learn the Word of God, to discuss it, because there were circles of discussion all over the temple area. They continued daily in the temple. And they had this fellowship. They went from house to house. I think they had small groups. They got together, but then in the evening, they went out and discussed those things and had small groups, and they ate together. Sometimes they had the Lord's table in that house. Sometimes they had the Lord's table, and then they ate other stuff with it. That's basically what the phrase is. It can be taken either way, that it was the Lord's table or regular food or both. Praising God. There's that worship word. Worshiping God and having favor with all of the people. The bottom line of this part, these hungry children united as a family, there's the bottom line of it. They together worshiped God and they had favor with all of the people. Having favor means possessing or relating graciousness or grace. But you know what? If you present grace without graciousness, you sort of blow it away, don't you? Yeah. But if you graciously present the free gift of Jesus Christ, and that's literally what it says they were doing. They were impacting the people in their area by this graciousness that they were relating to people with. We ought to be the people that they remember at the restaurant or the store, that they remember for a good reason. We ought to be the people that they look forward to us coming back when we call their name, when we treat them graciously, even when things totally mess up. I was standing in the airport in Detroit probably 15 years ago, and at that time, one of the foremost contemporary Christian singers was Larnell Harris. Awesome guy, godly man, what a voice, what a writer, songwriter, one of Steve Green's closest friends back in those days. And I recognized them. Of course, he didn't know me, but we stopped to get a sandwich, and he was in line in front of me. And that lady messed his order up. She was rude to him. I mean, she was just, I'm going, oh, wow, this is terrible. And then I thought, I've seen him on stage. I've heard his songs. Now I'm going to see the real Larnell Harris. He was so gracious and kind to her. And man, it was, I'm thinking, okay, I'm learning from this guy. This is wonderful. He got his sandwich, and I stepped up there, and it was amazing. I mean, she did everything, bang, 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 bang. I didn't even get a chance to be gracious to her. She was good. And I said thank you, and I had a tract I gave her. And I caught up with him. And when I walked up beside him, I said, excuse me, sir, you're Larnell Harris, aren't you? And he said, yes, sir, how did you know that? I said, well, I recognize you from the picture on your latest CD. And I said, by the way, I was standing in line behind you when that lady was so rude and terrible to you when she was making your sandwich. Well, this look came over his face, and you could tell he hadn't said what he wanted to say, okay? He had been Jesus to her and not Larnell Harris to her. But hey, that's all of us. That was the Holy Spirit holding back Fred and putting up Jesus. And he looked at me almost scared, and he said, wow. He said, we really need to be careful in our unguarded moments. He said, you never know who's watching. I said, you don't. But I said, fact is, across the counter, she was watching. And he said, yes, she was. I said, thanks for being everything that I've ever seen and heard you to be, and everything that you sing from the Word of God. These people related gratifying graciousness. It says they possessed it, having. It was part of them. They didn't have to put it on. The graciousness was there. It was just an opportunity to let it slip out to a person that needed it. In closing, what are the results of our Grace Baptist physical? Are we hungry, children? Are we sticking with, hungry for what God says for us? Are we hungry to know what else He has for us after we've been saved 40 or 50 or 60 years? Because we're not finished yet. Are we hungry, kids? I hope we are. Are we all about that fellowship thing and fear when God does something? Do we just go, well, okay, yeah, God did it? Or do we go, wow. Because you know what? The people around us who don't know Him will be amazed that we recognize Him and that He did it, because they won't be able to explain it. Everybody uses the words miracles, but nobody knows where they come from. We're the only people that know where they come from. So we're supposed to tell the people where the miracle came from. Are we a united family? I skipped over one, and I apologize. Back in verse 46, continuing daily with one accord. The word accord there means unanimous. It literally means the same passion or hard breathing. They were all breathing the same passion for the Son of God. That's what accord is. It's not just getting along. It's that you and I don't look at anything that we have as if it belongs to us or if it's special to us. It's already what Paul says counted as loss in exchange for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung, that I may win Christ. These people had the same passion, and it was for the Son of God. And their passion was more important than their differences were. How do we strengthen this body? Well, I talked a little bit earlier about about my teeth. I've got four teeth that are absolutely no good to me anymore. My wisdom teeth. I know where they are. They're in the top drawer of my desk. Because when they were pulled, I told my dentist, they'd been with me a long time, I wanted to keep them. He said, "You want to keep them?" I said, "Yep." So I've got them in a little case. They don't do me any good, though. They haven't chewed for a long time. You know why? They're separated from my body. But these guys here, the real ones, the originals, and the artificial ones, by the way, all of the artificial ones were grounded, foundationally grounded on my original teeth. Now, you know what? Some of us might not be the sharp cutters anymore, but we can be the foundation upon which the 20s, 30s, and 40s of this church build upon and become the main cutters in God's work here. I go back to what he said in 1 John. Fathers, older men, take the younger men and teach them as if you were their father. But then he said, treat them like brothers. That's different. That's completely different. You don't treat your son Scott exactly the same way you treat Luke. Someday you'll treat Luke the way you treat Scott. You treat Scott as a brother now. And I'm telling you, young people, old people, whoever we are here tonight, I'm telling you as a 60s guy, these young people are sharp. And we need to get with them. We need to learn from them. We need to pray for them. We need to say, how can I help you? What can I do to be a blessing to you? And then we need to listen to what they say. Because they know how to reach the people that are 30 and 40 years younger than us. But they do need our help in reaching them. How do we strengthen the body? Take heed to yourselves, the Apostle Paul says. You take care of yourself. The word take heed there means to be cautious about yourself. Apply the word to yourself. That's what it means. Don't worry about the other person. You take care of yourself. Fred has got to take care of Fred. You take care of yourself. Stay with this word. And then God will give you other people who need help that you can reach out and help. And then let no corrupt word come out of your mouth. Now, you've heard that old expression, blood is thicker than water, right? Loosely translated means, I can criticize my sister, but you can't. The only one thing wrong with that, it's not biblical. It's not biblical for me to criticize my sister. She knows what her mistakes are. I've been telling her for the last 63 years. No, wait, she's only 60, okay. They know. But the biblical principle is, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only those things that are edifying. That means building up. So, hungry children, a united family. That can only happen when you and I forget the person in our skin and pray for and love and are willing to share and do whatever it takes to help the other members of the body to function the way Jesus wants us to. Let's pray, please. Lord, we think of the people that have this symbol sprayed on their homes. Well, some of them are not even here anymore. You're talking to some of them right now. And Lord, may we be that kind of Nazarene follower of the Nazarene, willing to be common, to have all things common, because you are the unanimous passion of our hearts, not our possessions, not our position or rights or whatever. But you are the dedicated, hard-breathing passion of this body. Father, thank you for letting us have a part in this body. Each day, show us as that changes, as our function changes, as our speed changes, our abilities change. Help us to be adaptable to whatever the body needs here at Grace Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Fred. Brother, appreciate you. And the words tonight. It's a good day, huh? Really good day. Well, I hope you have a good week and bless you in your workplace, wherever you may go, that you reflect Christ in your lives. Lord bless you. Have a good week.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Grace Baptist Church exists to glorify God by knowing Him through His Word, loving Him through worship and obedience, and serving Him by caring for others. For more information about our ministries, please go to www.aboutgracebaptist.org. See you next time.